Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
Continuing our series today with reminded, renewing of our minds. Romans 12, verse 2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So, Father, I just ask you this morning to hide me behind your cross. Let my words be your words. Speak through me. Lord, I pray that you change people's hearts and lives today, that we leave here, Lord, looking more like you, encouraged and challenged, but Father, shaped to be Christ-like in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as we look at being renewed, last week we talked about a renewing of our mind and how we think and how we need to change our thought processes from the way the world thinks to the way that God thinks, and how the world we live in actually influences our theology. And so we have to continually ask God to renew our minds so that when we see and hear things, we see it through God's eyes, we hear it through God's ears, and we're able to serve him in a powerful way. So this morning, after renewing our minds and being in line with God, I want to talk to you this morning about dreaming with God. I want to talk to you this morning about dreaming with God. And when we dream with the Father, we're encouraged, we're strengthened, and some of us have to understand that a normal Christian life is partnership between God and each one of us, played out every day living, every day the way we do life, living with him as we become the gateway to heaven. So you and I should live in a partnership with the Father in a way that when people see us and interact with us, they begin to understand heaven, because you and I are the gateway. We open up their eyes, we open up their ears to see and to hear the things of God. And we do this by being partners with him. And what most of us have to understand is this should be a normal Christian life. A normal Christian life. I want to tell you one of the prayers that I've prayed ever since Father's Day. I can tell you that it was Father's Day Sunday, because I remember Pastor Jason was here, was preaching, and he was talking about his walk with the Father and walk with the Lord. And when he decided to give his heart to the Lord and go into ministry, he prayed and he asked the Lord, "Father, I will follow you, but just don't let my life be boring." What you have to realize is ever since that day, I've asked God, "God, am I bored? Am I bored?" And so ever since, I've been praying, "Father, I just don't want my life to be boring." And I can tell you right now, the doors that he has opened, the things that he has done, the opportunities that I've had, my life has not been boring. It's been exciting, challenging, difficult, name it. It's all the emotions, it's all there. But it's not boring. And I think too often, too many of us have settled into a boring Christian life. Many of us are like, "Well, no, I'm not bored, but it's just..." No, you just run life on a pattern. You're so well-disciplined, but disciplined to a point where you're not even open to something new. And God wants life. He wants you to have life and have it to the full. If you live a life with God and you're not having exciting times with him, this is what we're talking about. It's time for you to ask the Father to renew your mind so that life with him is exciting. You want to know how I can tell that most of you don't understand what I'm talking about? You're all laughing because you know what I'm about to say. None of you are even excited about it. You're not even excited about the potential that God wants to take your life and use it for amazing things. You actually would rather, some of you, just go, "Actually, I'm pretty comfortable. And Chad, I'm Canadian, so I don't get excited." Can I tell you what your identity is? You're not Canadian. You're Christian. You're Christ-like. You're a son and daughter of the living God. There should be joy in that. There should be excitement in that. Some of you might ask right away, so Chad, are you joyful every day because you're a son of God? Yes. Many days it's a choice. God wants to renew your mind to a point where you wake up excited to serve him, excited for what he's going to do that day in and through your life. To a point that when you wake up so excited to do something for him that the enemy is upset that you woke up. See, your life isn't about what God can do in you. He also wants to work through you. We talked about this last week. What if you begin to do amazing things for God? What if God ignites you inside with a passion that all of a sudden you begin to pray for people and you see people get healed? I hope that excites a few people in the room. But you want to know how you begin to pray for people and see God move in a powerful way? You let him transform your mind. And then you take steps of faith. And you begin to pray for people for healing. You begin to pray for people. You begin to share God. You begin to walk up to people and talk to them and not be nervous and just say, hey, how you doing? Standing at a bus stop, standing at a cashier when you're waiting in line. Instead of pulling out your phone and going to nowhere, engaging with the people that God brings across your path. What if you woke up every morning and asked the Father, God, how do you want to use me today? God, who do you want me to speak to? God, who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to share with? Dreaming with him again. See, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10 says this, and we read it last week. For this then is how you should pray. Read the rest of this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. How does God plan on bringing heaven to earth right now? Somebody said it over here. Through you and me. Through you and me. See, we are partners in the work of heaven in this earthly sphere. This is who he has. He brought us here. He empowered us. This is where he told the disciples, you will be my witnesses. The disciples are gone. We are now his disciples. We are Christ followers. We are his light to this world. See, last week we touched on this. We talked about three realms. We talked about the earthly, which is here right now. This is what you and I can see. This is right in this room. This is the earthly realm. Some will call it the first heaven. And then there's the second heaven. That is the spiritual realm. That is where when Daniel was talking and writing in 10:10 and the angel came to him and said, your prayer was heard right away, but I came. It took me 21 days to fight my way through. It's the spiritual realm. When we talk about our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual realm. It's against the powers and authorities of darkness. That's the spiritual realm. That's where we can't always see. Once in a while, God will open our eyes to it, what's happening around us, but that's what's influencing our lives. And then there's the third heaven. That's where God is. That's where he sits on the throne. And what we have to understand is we have to begin to ask the Father to allow us to see things from the third heaven. See, when we see things from the third heaven, it doesn't matter what's happening in the second or here. When you begin to understand what you're walking through, when you begin to see it from God's eyes, you have a different perspective on life because you begin to understand what you're walking through, why you're walking through it, because you can see it from the Father's eyes. He begins to open up your mind and open up your eyes. But he can't do that if you haven't renewed your mind. He can't reveal you the secrets of heaven. We have to renew our minds so we show ourselves as trustworthy. We are partners with God in what he wants to do right here on earth. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is co-laboring with God. Co-laboring with God. We're working with him. See, God's work on earth is not complete without us. He wants to work through us. See, God looks to you and I as partners with him to what he is doing. That's what he looks at. He looks at you and I as partners. He doesn't look at us as spectators. Too many of you like spectating. Too many of you like spectating. God wants you in the game. He wants you involved. He wants you a part of it. I played a lot of sports growing up. And I will tell you something. I've reffed hockey all the way up to the Warriors level. I've coached sports. I've played sports. And I'll tell you one thing that ruins a lot of good games. The spectators. The spectators. Chad, you just called us a bunch of spectators and then you tell us we ruined the games. I didn't call you a bunch of spectators. I said a bunch of you like spectating, but God wants you in the game. See, spectators, also known as Monday armchair quarterbacks, critique everything from the crowd. But see, when you're in the game, when you're playing, you're just trying to support one another. You're just trying to figure out how to win, and you're trying to help each other win. A lot of spectators criticize and critique, but have never actually played the game. I watched one movie, thought it was hilarious. These young boys, they're starting to play football, and the coach asks, like, okay, who here has ever played football? And a few of them raise their hand. Anybody play quarterback? And one of the kids is like, I rock at quarterback. They get, like, into practice, not even a game. They're getting into practice, and this guy cannot throw a ball. So the coach is like, I thought you told me you play quarterback. And he's like, yeah, yeah, on PlayStation. God wants us involved. He wants us as co-laborers, not just workers doing his work, but he actually is interested in your desires and your dreams. You have to understand, there's so much that he has opened up to us. He wants to open up his plans on earth to your influence. See, some of us are just like, we got to follow so tightly. But once you're in the will of God, once your mind is renewed, he actually cares about your dreams and desires. Because see, when you're in the will of his, in the will of God, when you're walking with him and your mind has been renewed, your desires line up with his desires. So he's actually okay with going, what's your thoughts? That's why I find it so amazing when he tells the disciples, go into all the world and share the gospel. That's it. That's all he tells them. I don't know about you, I would prefer a little bit more of a game plan. But what he says, what he's saying, what he means is go and share the gospel. Each and every one of you is going to do that differently. And all I really care about is that you're sharing the gospel. See, what we have to realize is the Bible shows us this co-laboring right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. See, right in Genesis, God creates the earth. I'm going to knock this over. I feel it. God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates all the animals. And then he tells Adam, name all the animals. And he lets Adam name all of the animals. Have you ever gone online and Googled alternate names for animals? The ones that are laughing have. And my mind's gone blank, but some of them are hilarious. And it makes you really wonder, like, why did Adam name them certain names? But God left it to him. Go ahead and name them. Look at Moses' relationship with God. We're going to read a bunch of scripture here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, if you have your phones, flip them open. Can we just pull the house lights up a little bit so then people with paper can follow along? It's good to have your real Bibles with you. I just want to give you light so you can see it. Exodus 32, starting at verse 7, it says this: Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.'" Can I tell you that God is patient with you? If you see his people, now understand, I'm about to continue reading, he's not very patient here, but he has mercy and grace for you. If you read the Israelites and how much they're still his people and the stuff that they did, they just got out of Egypt and now they've formed a calf out of gold. Why a cow? I like steak, but I'm not going to bow down and worship a cow. That's my thoughts. Verse 9. "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." Right here, God is telling Moses. First off, he tells Moses it's his people. "Moses, these are your people that you brought out of Egypt." Okay, so he's already like, okay, "Moses, these are yours, but don't worry, I'm going to destroy them." Listen to what he's telling Moses: "And I will still make you a great nation." Okay? Now here's Moses' response in verse 11. "But Moses thought the favor of the Lord his God. 'Lord,' he said, 'why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt?'" See how he's correcting God? "'You brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster to your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" So this is all in chapter 32. We're just reading a conversation between God and Moses, okay? Now here is the Lord's response in verse 14. "Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened." Moses, in a conversation with God, tells him, okay, let's clarify something, God. Not my people, your people. If you destroy them, the whole world's going to think that you're just an evil God that brought them out here to destroy them all. You actually need to relent of your anger. Imagine this conversation. God, you need to relent. And God's response is, you're right. Moses, in conversation, in partnership, convince God to do something different. Now, it's still according to God's will. But here's how God wants you to partner with him, to have conversations. And this is why we need to renew our minds. See, Moses' heart and mind were renewed. So as he spoke in favor of God. Moses and God worked together and had a conversation. See, here's how Jesus says it in the New Testament, John 15:15. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." See, servants are not co-laborers. Servants are servants. Co-laborers are friends. See, what you have to understand is God is not in lack of ideas, okay? God is not in lack of ideas on what to do and how to bring heaven to earth, but he enjoys yours and my participation with him. He enjoys us partnering with him. He wants to work together. And so this is what he's calling us to. I want to talk to you about your desires. See, our desires, some people believe that if we really desire something, it must not be of God. So many of us, sometimes we believe that our desires are always evil. Until we renew our minds, a lot of times they are. Until we get rid of our old flesh and put on our new man, then we are. But when we have a new heart, when we have a new mind, when we're in line with God, when we walk with the Father, our desires are not ungodly. Some of you spend time with the Father in devotion time in the morning, and you rebuke the enemy because all of a sudden you start thinking about something. You're trying to spend time with God, and all of a sudden you start thinking about a business deal, and you're like, oh, get that out of my mind. I need to concentrate and spend time with God. But what if Holy Spirit is bringing that to your mind so you and God can walk through the conversation on the business deal because he cares? Sometimes you'll spend time with God, and all of a sudden somebody else's name will come to your mind, and you'll rebuke the enemy of like, why am I thinking of that person? Get out of my mind. And God just wants you to send them a text. God cares about what's going on in your life. So when you renewed your mind and you're walking with him and your partnership with him, he cares about your desires. So sometimes let him lead the conversation. Sometimes, probably should be every time. Let him lead. Follow. Have conversation. See, he can only commune with you and me as we open up ourselves to a relationship with him. The deeper relationship, the more that you can talk about. The deeper relationship, the more he can interact with you. So are there parts of you that you still try to keep from God? Are there parts of you that you're still holding back? Does anybody, if all of a sudden you get that like 20-minute notice that somebody's coming to your house to visit, does everybody have that room? They do. The ones who are laughing, you have that room. That room where you're like, where does this go? Throw it in there. Where does this go? Throw it in there. Where does this go? Throw it in there. And we just mad dash clean. Not when we say we, that's not Melissa and I. Our house is always spotless. We don't have one of these rooms. You all have one of those rooms. 90% of the time, it's our piano room. It's either our bedroom or it's our storage room. Everything just gets chucked. And then the doors close and it's like, you want to see a tour of the house? Oh, that's just the piano room. You don't need to see in there. In your own life with God, as he's renewing your mind and as he's bringing purity to your heart and holiness and righteousness, is there a room in your life that you just keep the door closed? God, you can look through the whole house. This one's just for me. If you want to fully renew your mind and fully follow God and walk in holiness and righteousness, you need to kind of kick every door open and allow God into every area of your life. God will never bring you guilt or shame. He'll bring you holiness and righteousness. He will convict, but conviction leads us to repentance, which leads us to a deeper relationship with the Father. Don't confuse conviction with condemnation. Psalms 37 verse 4 says this, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, co-laboring is a huge aspect of a ministry, our walk with the Lord, that many of us simply don't understand because true friendship with God is so foreign to us. We don't understand how to be so close to him But he wants us close. See, what you have to realize is the very word desire is made up of two words. D, which is meaning of, and sire, the meaning of the Father. Desire by nature of the Father. So your desire is of the Father. Desires in you are already of the Father. You just have to make sure your heart's in a line. Do I serve God? Now, how do I clarify with my heart's desire sometimes? First off, I have people in my life. Do you know who one of the best sources I have to check my heart with? My wife. My wife knows me better than anybody. We talked about this last week, that my wife is the only person on the face of this earth who chooses to love me. Right? My parents, they gave birth to me. They have really no choice. My kids, they want to be fed and stay in a warm house, so they have no choice. My wife chooses. Therefore, she's one of the first ones that can sort through the desires of my heart. Is it a selfish desire? Am I prideful? What am I? My wife is a great sounding board. It takes years of trust to build to know that we want the best for one another. So therefore, when she looks at me, I said, I think we should do this. And she goes, I don't think that's a good idea. And I'm like, well, why? Do you want to do that because that's what God is asking or because you want to do that? Well, don't ask those questions. And then we both pray. And God will speak to us and guide us and lead us. See, when we commune with the Father, then we have a relationship with the Father. Our desires are pure. This begins with the renewing of our minds. That's why Jesus can say in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. See, many of us, we hear that scripture verse, and this is what we talked about last week. Our theology is messed up with our experiences. Chad, I've done a lot of prayers. And they were not answered. I wish I could explain to you every unanswered prayer, but I can't. The only thing I can explain, the only thing I can say is that God is God and I am not. So God knows which answers to give. Here's what you have to realize. Your prayer is never unanswered. It's just answered in a way you didn't like or you don't understand. Sometimes is the better word. I don't understand. And that's when we have to trust that God knows. And many of us won't know until we're with him. I always think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was promised to be the father of a nation. He never saw it. He never saw it. Are you okay? We've talked about this before. Are you okay with your next generation or the following generation to receive the promise that God has given to you? Because it's your desire doesn't mean it's going to happen for you. It might happen to the next. Because see, what we have to realize is David dreamt of building a temple for the Lord. When you read, God never asked for it. It was David who was like, I'm going to build you a temple. And God's like, I'm just going to be with my people. I'm going to build you a temple. And then God was like, okay, build me a temple, but I'm going to give you all the instructions, all the plans, how to do it, everything. And just so you're aware, your son's going to do it. So Solomon built the temple, not David. It was David's desire. Solomon built the temple. So when we co-labor with God, the results look like him and look like us. It's a mixture. He works in us and through us. That's why so many times as Christians, we get distracted by the influence of a person and we miss what God is doing. I had a mentor we went to outpouring of the Spirit, of revival that happened years ago. And I remember when he was there, I was seeing all these things online, and people were, well, I don't know if God would do that. I don't know if God would do this. And my mentor was there, and I asked him, I said, okay, so tell me, is this God or it's not God? And his response was, oh, Chad, that's where people get it wrong. When the Spirit of God moves, the enemy tries to mimic and pervert and twist, and also the flesh. God is moving, and we can't miss what he's doing. Too often we get distracted. Well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit would do that, but do you believe he's doing that? Oh, yeah, then let's concentrate on that. Let the Spirit move. Let him change our lives. Let him impact us in a mighty way. Open up our hearts to what he's doing. We co-labor with him. See, as God sees you and I surrender to his agenda, he suddenly is interested in hearing what we have to say. Our yieldedness and surrender make him vulnerable to our dreams. It comes as a co-laboring effect. What do I mean by that? Many of you, if you've run an organization, you've run a business, you've run an event, you have people that come alongside you, and they're all of a sudden, they're like, well, let's do this, this, and this, this, and this, this. And you're like, oh, slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Once you understand the heart and why things are done in a certain way, then you begin to show that you set aside your desires, your motives, your thought processes. And that's when God, that's when leaders can go, okay, now share your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Because they align with what God has said. They align with the mission. They align with the focus. They align with what God is telling us to do. You see it in business where people are like, well, we should do this and this. That's actually not even our business. If we do all that, we'll get distracted from what God is telling us to do. It'll get distracted from what our mission is with our business. It happens in all places. When we surrender our desires, God is open to our desires. Does that make sense? When you surrender your desires of, I want this done, I want this done, when you surrender that to God and all of a sudden you come up with, God, here's a thought. Now he's open to it. Now he wants to hear. He wants to walk because our yieldedness and surrender make him vulnerable to our dreams. He wants us to co-labor with him. Our desires come alive out of relationship and they add to his. Third thing, life to the full. When we dream with God, he wants you and I to have life to the full. See, Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the sick, makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. A tree of life. When your desires are fulfilled, they become a tree of life to you. A tree of life provides continuous emotional strength, financial strength, wisdom, a mind that is at ease. And this is actually God's desire for you, for every believer. We just have to have our minds renewed so our heart's desires walk alongside his. We're co-laborers with him. Jesus says it this way. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Too many of us, the enemy has stolen our dreams. Too many of us, the enemy has stolen what God has told you he wants to do in and through you. And he steals it by lying. By lying to us and lying about who we are. See, what he wants to do is he wants to kill your dreams. He wants to destroy them. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to kill and destroy the relationship with your children. This is what he wants to do. When we renew our minds and our hearts begin to align with the Father, when we begin to see from the third heaven, we see what God is doing, it brings forgiveness into our hearts. It helps us to forgive other people. See, God wants you and I to have a life that is fulfilling. But we need to renew our minds so that they line up with His, so that He can trust our desires. See, the challenge is this, and we already actually prayed through this. I told you this at the beginning. But some of you might need to pray through it again, or some of you that didn't might need to at the end. The challenge is this. We go through disappointing circumstances. We go through disappointing circumstances, and we never get before God with them to have Him heal the hurts that they pour out from our soul. Many of us have a hard time co-laboring with God because of past hurts and past disappointments with Him. To a point where our physical bodies reflect what's going on. Many people, we suffer physically due to past hurts that haven't been confessed and allowed to be healed. I was reading a book, and it was a person, says a person with Crohn's disease was receiving some ministry and prayer, and their colon had been dissolving for 7 years. They were asked if they struggled with shame. They said they did. And then they were told this. Their body was sending them a message. Your colon is eating itself. The harshness that you have towards yourself is making you sick. And your body is manifesting what you are doing to yourself emotionally. So this person, they repented for that sin. And they were healed instantly. I remember reading in another book that this person came forward with a cancerous lump and wanted healing. And the minister just asked, "Do you have any unforgiveness or bitterness?" And they talked about some past hurts. And the minister just said, "Just if you're willing to forgive and release them, just come over here and just do that. Have some ministry time of forgiveness." And they went over and they repented and they forgave and they extended forgiveness and received forgiveness. And the lump was gone. What we have to realize is the spiritual will affect the physical. And when we don't take things to God, like many people already did this morning, and bring it to Him and say, "Father, I have walls up. I have hurt. I have disappointment." We need to allow God to heal these areas of hurt, areas of disappointment. See, His healing breaks the lives of the enemy and will restore what was stolen from us. Then Jesus can walk with us in a life to the fullest, as we co-labor with Him and dream with Him again. Let's stand together. Prayer team, I am going to ask you to come and stand across the front. I realize that already today, we've already kind of prayed through this for some people, knocking down walls, walls that we've put up, walls that situations have put up. But this morning, maybe you sat in your seat, and then as we kind of wrapped up, you're like, "Man, I really actually felt like I should go forward. I wish I'd have a second chance." Well, this is your second chance. Maybe some of you were already up here praying, and you just felt like it wasn't done yet. I want to give you an opportunity to come and just lay at God's feet the hurts, the disappointments, so He can heal our hearts. Ask God for His forgiveness. We actually need to confess these hurts. We actually need to repent of them. And ask God for forgiveness and ask Him to heal us. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to close in prayer. I want to remind you of tonight, 6:30, the encounter service. You don't want to miss it. You want to be here tonight. As you come forward for prayer, I want you to do the confession and repentance on your own. So you don't have to worry. You're not going to walk up here and share with anybody across the front your hurts or your disappointment. You're going to take that off of your shoulders. You don't have to confess that to them. You're confessing it to God. Once you've confessed and repented, then what I want you to do is I want you to move forward. And prayer team, what I'm asking you to do, I don't want you to ask about their hurts, about their disappointments. When somebody steps forward in front of you, what I want you to only do is I want you to pray for healing. I want you to pray for joy, peace, and strength, and a life to the full. If God gives you a word of encouragement, you're released to share that, but it's a word of encouragement. And so this morning, as you come forward, the people praying with you are going to lift you up and encourage you. You're going to do the confession and stuff on your own, and that's just a privacy thing, because I'll be honest, when I confessed my past hurts and the things that had helped put a wall between me and God, I didn't necessarily want everybody to know. So I want you to know the front is a safe place. They're not going to ask. If one of them forgets and goes, hey, is there a hurt I can pray with you for? Just be like, Chad said not to do that. You can all laugh, and then there's joy already right there. Okay? I want you to walk out of this place free. I believe God wants to renew our hearts and our minds. And there's a freedom that we can walk in when he does that. We just have to give it to him. And so allow these people to pray with you. So I'm going to close, and then you can come, repent, confess on your own, and let them pray encouragement and strength into your life. So Father God, I thank you that, Lord, you've called us to be co-laborers with you. Help us to understand that, Father. Help us to walk with you. Help us to share with you our dreams and our desires. That, Lord, we know that you actually want to work with us. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that there's freedom in this room. That as people come forward and repent and confess to you of hurts and disappointments that many of us have, Father. That, Lord, you're able to break that off of them and heal them. And that, Lord, they're able to receive encouragement and strength. And that, Father, they walk out of here strengthened with joy of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.